I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us happier humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some public speaking tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speak series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speak series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
It's so good to be here today, and we are speaking about a topic that's extremely close to my heart, so I'm really grateful that my next guest is here today. We are speaking about healing from depression. I think all of us can agree that after the year we've had, the rise of anxiety and depression is a huge concern for all of us. In fact, I read that 4 in 10 adults in the U.S. have reported symptoms of anxiety or depressive disorder, which is up from 1 in 10 in 2019. It's the numbers are staggering. And, you know, as we're moving through life, we all, especially in this last year, can feel a little off of being who we are ourselves, a little disconnected, and maybe even feeling seriously blue and depressed. So my guest today, Amy, are you there? Hi, Amy.
I'm here. Hi.
That is the voice of a person who's going to help you. So stay tuned. Amy B. Scheer is here, and I'm going to tell you why she's going to help you heal when no one else has been able to help. But first, a message from our sponsor, a brand that I have admired for years, Red Spade Environments. Red Spade is the premier residential landscape architecture and design build firm based in Winnetka, Illinois, and Chicago. Large or small, hardscape, softscape, pools, patios, pergolas, fireplaces, outdoor kitchens, and sustainable gardens. It's so nice because all of these things are real, as it is now spring, soon to be summer. The Red Spade team has done it all. They are seasoned professionals who bring 30-plus years of landscape architectural design and construction experience to make your vision a reality. It's their true hands-on approach and local presence that differentiates them. Red Spade. Landscape design, consultation, installation, management. What is on your wish list for 2021? We deserve it, right? Let Red Spade bring your environment to life. We all know how the outdoors can be so healing. I'm sure, Amy, you have a lot to say on that. I'm so grateful. Yeah, I'm so grateful you're here today. And I'm grateful to Red Spade for allowing me to bring these stories. And I pray that someone who's listening, and many of you who are listening, are moved by my guest techniques that have results. She is an internationally recognized and award-winning author. Her best-selling books have been translated into 16 languages, and her work has been featured in the Washington Post, Cosmopolitan, CNN, CBS, New York Daily News, the Los Angeles Review of Books, and now here on the Love Speak Series podcast. I am so honored.
Yay!
So honored. As an energy therapist, my guest teaches people how to release emotional baggage to help become their happiest, healthiest selves, which I know we can all agree that we need more of. Please welcome energy therapist and author of the new book, which I'm holding in my hands and will obviously be putting in the show notes, How to Heal Yourself from Depression When No One Else Can. And it's a self-guided program to stop feeling like shit. Amy B. Scheer, please welcome. Hi, Amy.
Hi, thank you so much. And thank you for being one of the few people who actually reads the whole subtitle. I had to fight to have that word in the subtitle.
You know, it's
so
funny.
So proud and happy when people read it.
Well, it's I have a subtitle on my book too, and it's my favorite part of the title. And I love, it's my favorite part of your title, because it's like, yeah, let's just be real. We just want to stop feeling like shit. Is that okay? I know,
yes,
you had to use an asterisk,
absolutely,
and not the I, but yeah. And my tag, my subtitle is, step up your speaking game and your human game, because, you know, it's just like, let's get real. That's what it is. Like, let's learn how to speak up and just be happier humans. Hey, let's also figure out how to stop feeling like shit. I'm so excited. I've way too many questions for you. This book hits home for me in so many ways, which we can talk about. But I just like to start every podcast with a simple question, and then we'll get into more. But Amy, how is love speaking to you today in this moment, in this morning that you've had this morning in New York City?
Well, it's just starting to be spring in New York City. So love is everywhere, which is not always true in the city, especially in the middle of February. So we are very happy here. But love is speaking to me today in the way of just being grateful to be here with you and all of you that are listening. And I truly believe that love speaks to us in many ways, but really when we're together.
Yes.
And sometimes we echo it for each other. And so I'm excited to be here for that experience today.
That is so true. Nothing like a good connection and community to just really fill the soul and heart up. For so many reasons. And I think it's so cool that during this time of separation and pandemic that we've all managed to figure out new ways of connection. Like today, you're in New York, I'm in Chicago, and I'm feeling that connection with you, and it makes me feel so good. And I think if all of us can understand that we don't have to wait for this pandemic to be over to connect with people, that I would assume is one of your most, you know, sure techniques to getting people to stop feeling like shit.
Yeah, and it's connection with other people. And I think that we all really know that we need that in many ways. And you're right, we've become better in this last year of finding those ways to connect. Mm-hmm. But what I see people missing more is connection to themselves.
Yes.
That they don't have a true connection to themselves, and they've lost themselves somewhere along the way, you know, in this thing called life, where there's so much stuff going on.
Exactly.
So as our connection to others and to tribe and to community is so important.
Yeah.
It's just as, it may be not more important because there are times in our lives, maybe we are physically distanced from others, which this year has showed us, but it's so important to stay or be connected with ourselves as well.
I'm so glad you started with that because I felt so aligned when reading your book. And I've been, you know, cramming this book because I just sort of got it. And I've just been like, oh my gosh. And lots of highlights, lots of doggy ears, which I always think is like the best compliment you can give an author. So bravo to you. But I felt such alignment with you when you said that, when you wrote about what you just said in the book, because when I talk about speaking, I always say that our most important audience, you know, people are so scared to get in front of an audience. People are scared to get in front of themselves, you know. In order to be, you know, a good speaker, you have to be connected to your audience. But your most important audience is you. And I always think that people, you know, say, oh, I'm too scared to speak in public. No, I don't buy that. I buy that people are too scared to connect with themselves. Because in order to be a good speaker, you have to be connected to yourself. And what you just said is, in order to feel good and connected with the world around you, you have to be connected with yourself. Is that the missing piece to healing? Is that like when you don't have a connection to yourself? Is that, can you tell us more about that? Because I think it's really powerful.
Yeah. So my perspective on depression, and this does not negate anything anybody is doing with their doctor or has learned about depression, or if there's, you know, some chemical imbalances or hormonal imbalances that need to be worked out. So what I'm about to say does not negate that sometimes things are going on in the physical body that can be helpful to be addressed. But what I've seen and what we know is that even though, you know, medications and therapies for depression are getting better, depression is getting worse. The trend of depression is getting worse. So clearly that isn't the only answer,
I just got chills. That is so true. Everything's getting better, but it's the numbers are rising.
Right. And that tells us there's a deep misalignment between how we see depression and how we treat it and what it might really be. And so I believe even when there are hormonal imbalances or physical imbalances or whatever may show up in blood work and scanning and such, and I believe this for physical illness too, that there is something deeper within the emotional landscape within us that is stressing the body or putting pressure or stress on the immune system, the nervous system, to the point where those things are showing up at a chemical, you know, hormonal, mm-hmm. biological level. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that's all what it is. There's this unseen aspect of ourselves, which is the core of who we are. And yes. that is the part that I see people sort of lose their tether to, the core of who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's nobody's fault. This world that we live in and the pressures we put on ourselves and the societal pressures are a lot. And so sometimes we can get buried under trauma, under our day-to-day lives, under our expectations, under others' expectations of us. And we lose that connection to who we really are, what really makes us happy, what excites us, what we want to do, what we desire. I think mm-hmm. there's a huge disconnection between self and really sort of being attentive to our own lives and needs. And that gets a little chaotic and we get lost and then we lose the tether to our own core. And then surprise, surprise, why we're depressed, right? We're kind of lost in this chaotic life without really understanding or being connected to what we want, what we need, who we are.
Right. And I've been doing energy healing myself since my early 20s when I was diagnosed with a autoimmune disease. And so I have practiced a lot of different things. And the most recent energy healer that I've been working with for many years, and I've worked with a few, but the one that's in Chicago, I have one, Christine in New York and New Jersey, who I love so much, who really helped me get through COVID. And she was doing, you know, remote healings for me when I had the virus. And it was so incredibly helpful. And she helped my daughter as well when we were both sick. But when I just go to see my energy healer as a regular, you know, self-care thing, she's like banging on my body. And it's like, and she does it to my husband too. And it's like moving the triggers, the pain, moving the old stuff out. And I thought that was so interesting. I'm like, is this real? Like, you know, like what? And she's like, yeah, you know, and you say in your book, it's not, depression isn't just in your head. It's not just in your body, it's in your whole self. And you know, you when you're misaligned, that's when it comes in. But the physical, like getting rid of it through your body, what techniques do you use with your clients to actually move that physical pain out of their physical body?
So I use all self-application techniques, which means you could do this in the middle of a pandemic when nobody could get to you, when you can't, you know, can't go to somebody. And like you just mentioned, many healers do remote work, which is so amazing how they connect to your energy and sort of do the work through themselves for you. I, however, do something totally different. All of my techniques are not done by me. I'm not a healer. I am somebody who teaches people how to use techniques to heal themselves.
I love that.
So I did used to do in-person sessions, but I never touched anybody. I never did any hands-on work. And all of my techniques are used for yourself, on yourself, by yourself, with no tools or anything. Mm-hmm. So one of the techniques that I use are various types of tapping, which many people know emotional freedom technique tapping, which is tapping on acupuncture points on the face and the body to release stuck energy in your energy pathways. So I use EFT, but I also use several other tapping techniques in which you tap on different parts of the body, which are all attached to certain emotions, certain organs, glands, and muscles. And when we do tapping in a very specific way on those body parts, we can release or mobilize stuck energy mm-hmm. that's there. And the reason we want to move energy out of the body is because we all have an energy system or an energy body that is interlinked or intertwined to our physical body. And so when we are feeling symptoms in our physical body, research has shown that energy imbalances can be detected in the energy body long before physical symptoms come up, which means they could be the root of the issue. And so when we clear energy blockages from various parts of the body, we are clearing energy that, if left there, may eventually or may already be affecting the organs, muscles, and glands in that area. So if you clear energy from your abdomen, we don't know if that energy has been sitting there sort of radiating to, you know, your stomach and your colon and maybe throwing off their balance and causing physical symptoms.
Right.
So that's why it's so important to get the energy out of the body, because what's in your body? All the stuff that ends up hurting when your body's not clear.
Right.
So that's sort of the link that a lot of people don't understand. You know, what does energy have to do with my physical symptoms? And not everybody who has stuck energy has physical symptoms. A lot of times it comes up as anxiety, depression, you know, those types of things. But most people, especially with depression, do have, you know, body aches, stomach aches, whatever it may be.
Right. And you really have to wrap your head around that, because you're like, wait, what? Like, okay, I'm meditating, I'm working out, I'm eating healthy, I get massage, I do acupuncture. Wait, now I got to move my energy out of my chakras? What? You know, so
right.
But it's so effective. And I, the way you're explaining it makes so much sense to me. But if someone's listening and hasn't done it before, it's like, what are you talking about?
Yes, and it does sound a little bit far out. It's so interesting. A little bit over 10 years ago when I started this work, it was like pretty, I mean, I had chronic Lyme disease and many autoimmune challenges.
I want to hear your story of what brought you to this too. So please include
that. Yeah. So I had my own very long, decade-long healing journey from Lyme disease, autoimmune disease. I had all kinds of things. And that's what sort of brought me to the energy therapy or the energy work.
Me too.
But essentially, I lost my train of thought. We were
sorry. I'm interrupting you. I'm like, me too, because I'm like, that's what brought
that's okay.
me to energy work. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Okay. Now I remember. So when I started the work, it was like, doctors were like, what? I don't know. Okay. That's fine. If you want to try that, you know, it was kind of a thing that was like that not a lot of doctors, especially mainstream doctors, understood,
right.
You know, the more natural or alternative practitioners, of course, did. But now it's so interesting because now, more than 10 years later, where I am, most people who get referred to my work are referred by doctors. In fact, I teach this work at some of the major hospitals in New York City and other areas, and they're calling me to come in. So I think there's been this huge shift in the past decade from, we don't know what that is, it sounds too crazy, to wait, we're really now understanding that when something goes wrong in the immune system, in the nervous system, in the digestive system, that stress has an impact.
Right.
And stress, as most people understand it, is, you know, stress for getting the kids off to school, stress from work. But stress, the real deep-seated stress that has a negative impact on the body, are the things that I talk about and walk people through working with in the book. It's trauma, it's beliefs, it's being a perfectionist or a people pleaser, it's emotional patterns. Those are the things that doctors are catching on to as far as, wait, it's not just, you know, I'm worried about packing four kids' lunches to go to school, or
right.
I'm worried about, you know, something due for work on Friday. It's the stuff, it's the emotional baggage, the deep-seated emotional baggage that really does, when we carry it for too long, cause stress on the body. And when the body starts to become stressed and burdened over a long period of time, it can kind of break down and start to have things go wrong. And doctors are really putting together the idea that, wait, mind and body are not as separate as we thought. Oh, there's the mind body, not mind and body. And it's been so interesting for me to watch how many people come to my work, or how many doctors write me and say, oh, I sent, you know, a patient to your work, or can you come talk to my clinic, or whatever it is, because they're seeing a difference when people do this work. And that's what we needed. And all the credit, I think, I love to give doctors credit, but all the credit for this goes to patients, because what patients have been doing is saying sometimes what doctors are doing, which is all they can do for me, you know, they're trying everything they can, but it's not enough. And so I'm going to seek my own ways, and they're finding resources, and then they're coming back to their doctors and they're sharing, and they're saying, this is why my blood tests are looking better. This right. is why I'm less depressed. And these doctors have listened. And over right. the years, this has become so much more normal, thank goodness.
Right. It's normalized.
We need that.
Yeah.
We
all
need
this
that.
Integrative
yeah.
work is normalized. And I remember a friend of mine I used to have to run from our workouts. We worked out together, and I'd say, oh, I got to go do Reiki. My Reiki master's coming over. And she'd say, why don't you just write me the check? We wrote checks back then. I still write checks.
Right.
Actually. She goes, why don't you just write me the check? I'll do it. I'm like, no, it works. You know, I think obviously yeah. you have to come to it with a belief, you know, yourself. But I love that the purpose of this book, first of all, like you said earlier, is self-taught. Like you apply it yourself. Like you teach people how to be in charge of their own healing, which I think is beautiful. And also that, you know, listen, I have a family member who suffers from depression, and our whole world revolves around, is this a good day or a bad day for our
yeah.
family member? And I, you know, if I could just say, poof, you're cured, you know, I'm always looking. So this is why your book is so important to me. And so many I know who have family members and loved ones and people, friends of mine. Listen, I dip in to depression here and there, and have for years. So I get it. But what I love is that you're saying, you know, you may have tried this, and this, because we're always looking for the right, like, protocol, medicine, you know, what's gonna give us. But this is like, here, I'm gonna give you something when no one else can help you. So it's an addition
yeah.
to what you're doing, but it's
yeah.
like a hope. You've been giving me so much hope as I'm reading your book. And I think anyone suffering, we all know that if we just try one new thing and it works, that could change everything.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why it's so interesting to me, because as I mentioned, you don't even need to know the whole background of my story, but I did have chronic Lyme disease, and it was debilitated for much
you
of an
walk,
entire
right?
decade.
It wasn't
yeah,
a
I
point...
couldn't walk. At one time, I couldn't walk. I was using a wheelchair if I had to go any, you know, distance. And I came to this work as a last resort. This is how I came to this work. Okay. And that's why the title, and I have three books in this series, one about healing physical illness, one about anxiety, and this third one about depression. The reason the title is How to Heal Yourself from Depression or Anxiety or Whatever When No One Else Can is because this work is what people come to last, because we come to ourselves as a cure last. We go out in the world first, and right. when nothing works, we come to the free thing last. Why?
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
I think it goes back to what you said, which is facing ourselves is the hardest thing to do.
Yes.
And who wants to do that? I'd rather I did run all over the world
mm-hmm.
chasing a cure, only to find out that I carried it all along.
Oh, now, it's Dorothy. It's the Dorothy Wizard of Oz moment, you know?
Dorothy Wizard of Oz moment.
Right.
And again, that doesn't mean that we can't find support and take medicine. And I am a huge proponent of doing all you need to do for your
right.
healing. My real big statement, though, is that you can't exclude yourself from the healing, which
right.
is what most people do.
Right.
You can't not face yourself, because there is no doctor that can help you with that. There, you have to be the one to look at what's going on in your life that may not be in alignment with who you are. What, and of course, I always like to say this too, that we can't always change our lives in an instant. I mean, we have socioeconomic limitations. We have family structure limitations. Like, not everybody can just go, I hate my job, it's causing stress, I'm going to leave. Or, you know, I'm not happy in my marriage, I'm going to, you know, go find a new house, whatever it may be. But within the potential of what we can do for ourselves, we are responsible and obligated to do it. And so looking at ourselves is one of those things we can all self-examine. And and as I talk about in my book, not everything's super obvious, which is why sometimes you may need help to identify the patterns or maybe some subconscious blocks. But we can all do this work. We just don't want to.
We don't want to. I'm telling you.
Because it's hard.
It's the same thing I do about speaking, fear of speaking. It's like fear of taking charge of yourself, because it's so much easier to pay someone to do it. And we have all the power in ourselves. So tell me what, I have two questions. I have many, but two right now. What were you doing before professionally when you were struggling with your Lyme disease and your autoimmune disease and you couldn't walk and you were wheelchair bound? What were you doing? And what technique did you discover that got you out of your wheelchair?
So when I first was diagnosed with, before I was accurately diagnosed with Lyme disease, I was diagnosed with many other things, which some of them I turned out to have in addition to Lyme disease. But I was doing what everybody will probably think is the coolest job ever. I was a marketing director for Harley Davidson. And
oh,
I write
God.
About this. I have a...
Wait, is that how you... So do you know Shelly Paxton? No?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because no,
she's my friend who is the CMO of Harley Davidson. But
that's
maybe,
so funny. So
maybe
yeah,
not at the same
time. I was a marketing director in California.
So cool.
For three stores. Yeah, it was very cool. But here's the funny thing. It was like the coolest job in the world that I didn't like.
Right.
And I had the coolest job in the world. I was in my 20s, and that's even cooler when you're in your 20s.
Totally.
And my office was surrounded by like leather jackets and cool stuff that was like giveaway stuff that was stacked up in boxes in my office. And I got to go to all the coolest events and all my customers were the coolest. And I got to work with the Boys and Girls Club and do so many amazing things. Harley Davidson does so many amazing things and links up with nonprofits. But I just didn't like my job. It just wasn't me. It was super cool, but it just wasn't me. It wasn't what I wanted to be doing. And that's not what caused my illness, but there was that, there was a toxic relationship I was in. There was, you know, there were things that I just wasn't paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And
by the way, the 20s, that decade is tough. It is a tough decade.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. It can be really fun, but it can also
it's
be
so fun,
very difficult.
It's very tough in my opinion, but yes. Okay.
Yes. So, so it was a few things. And I do really, really, truly believe that led to the breakdown of my body. I just wasn't listening about the relationship, about the job. And, and at that time I could have gotten out of both. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I still don't, but it's not like I had kids or a huge mortgage. I mean, these, you know, but also when you're in your 20s, you think everything's permanent and you can't get out of anything.
It's hard to leave anything.
Everything is the biggest deal in the world when you're in your 20s and,
exactly.
and everything's scary, change is scary. And so those are the things that led to this very long period where I just couldn't get myself out of illness. I traveled all over the world trying different treatments. And it wasn't until nothing worked that I started discovering energy therapy. I discovered emotional freedom technique. I created some of my own techniques, which are in the book. Alternate temple tapping, which is tapping on the temples, the sweep technique, which is sweeping stuck energy out of the subconscious mind by repeating a script. It's super easy, but I created it.
Can you say the script now? Is it something you can repeat?
It's about 10 minutes, but if we have time to do something, I can definitely.
Yes, if we have time, we could take someone through it.
Yeah, okay, let me know if we have time. It's about 7 to 10 minutes because it's a fill in the blank script where you fill in the blanks with things that you want to release. So fear, stuck energy, the belief that I'm not good enough or I can't do it. There's and in my book, I walk people through what they specifically what you need to release to heal from depression. But you know, I used all of these techniques, and it didn't happen overnight. But slowly but surely, I started to release this heavy burden of this emotional baggage on my body, and my health really, really began to transform. And I can't say that, you know, all of the medical treatments and other alternative treatments I did prior to doing this work didn't help. I'm sure I would have been worse off having not done them. Mm-hmm. But when what I really saw a change in was my mind, body, and spirit when I started doing this work. And these techniques that are in the book are actually how I regain my full and complete health. And I've been well for about 10, a little bit more than 10 years now.
And so are you on any medication?
Am I on?
Yeah. I mean, medication for your Lyme.
No, I haven't been for 10 years.
That's so cool.
I have not been on any medication.
So
that was sort of, I always think of it as like my final piece to healing. That was the piece that had been missing mm-hmm. all along was, and we know this, science shows us now that trauma, whether it's a big event that we think is, you know, should be considered trauma or, you know, a week of bullying, being bullied when we were in middle school, you know, whatever the trauma is, parents getting divorced, a big move, whatever the trauma is, has an effect on the physical body and on the mind. And so it's really, really important to work with that.
Well, I'll just say, you know, I raise my hand to anything that's healing. I mean, like, I practice Christianity, I practice Judaism, I practice Reiki, I practice energy healing. I've done some acupuncture. I'll do anything. And again, this has been specifically for my physical autoimmune disease, but I will say when my marriage was falling apart about 8 years ago, I remember, I must have Googled it. I don't know who brought this to me, but I learned about this tapping technique and I sat in my bed and I'm doing it right now, just like tapping my collarbone and then my, you know, my lip, all the shot, you know, all everything that you talk about in your book. It's like when you're meditating and the person, maybe you're doing a meditation that someone is guiding you on and they say, put your, you know, one hand on your belly, one hand on your heart. It's like the minute you lay hands on yourself, you realize, oh, okay, I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to be okay. And the tapping is the same feeling. And it's the repetitive, just like, oh, feels so good. And I'm so excited that we're talking about this today because I'm going to start doing it again because it really just feels so good. And my husband was driving me home yesterday. I had to go to the dentist, which I live at the dentist, and he drove me because I was in a lot of pain. And I'm reading your book. And I'm tapping, and he goes, "What are you doing?"
Oh.
I'm like, "I'm tapping," and it's like it feels so good. So thank you for making your own techniques, you know, on top of the EFT technique that has been around for I guess a long time. I don't know how long, but
yes,
I sort of stumbled
definitely.
On this, and so I think anyone listening who is struggling with anxiety or depression, sometimes repetitive like behaviors like a mantra, you know, you repeat a mantra, it's so soothing. Tapping has really just it's effective immediately, in my opinion. Is that how you feel?
And for many people, it is effective immediately. And there are studies on it now that show, you know, tapping, it does feel good, but it doesn't just feel good. It's actually the reason you're feeling good is because tapping can lower cortisol levels. So it can actually lower that stress hormone by a significant amount. So tapping is comforting and it is really great self-care, but it's also having there's a physiological shift that happens in your body when you tap, which is actually healing, which is lowering your heart rate, which is bringing down cortisol levels. They use EFT in veterans programs for people with PTSD because it's shown in studies to reduce PTSD symptoms and to reduce cortisol levels. So it can be used for so many different things, from physical pain to trauma to being scared to go to the dentist, which I can relate to, and I think a lot of people can.
I'm laughing because my two of the biggest fears are speaking in public and going to the dentist, and like those are the only two fears I don't have, and I'm scared of everything else. It's so silly. But yes, tapping would help those who are scared for both, for anything. It's just I say to people, you know, when you are connected to yourself and your story and you take the stage, you feel like a friend is holding your hand so you're not scared, and that friend is you. And you're saying pretty much the same thing. Like if you are depressed, if you're suffering from anxiety, the missing piece to healing is connection and alignment with yourself and who you are. And so when you are connected to yourself, then you feel probably like someone's holding your hand, and that friend and that person is you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, and I'm sure some of our listeners will be able to relate, when I was going through my own experience with depression and anxiety and chronic illness and just feeling so overwhelmed, you know what freaked me out more than anything?
What?
That when I was freaked out, I would have to wait for my doctor to call me back. That my reassurance and my solution was always waiting for someone to call me back or waiting for an appointment. And the process or the process of using self-application techniques is actually calming to the nervous system and supportive of the immune system, because it takes you out of that stressed out, freak out space.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at home and you don't feel good or you feel depressed and you have put in a call to your doctor and now your doctor's not going to call back for 3 days because everyone else is doing the same thing to your doctor, you now have a book full of things you can do for yourself, which my students and clients always say, by the time the person called them back, they were like, never mind.
I'm good.
I'm okay. but just knowing you have the tools and techniques to help yourself is hugely supportive to the physical body and to the mind, because you don't feel alone, out of control, unable to do anything to help yourself. You actually are able to do quite a bit for yourself, which is incredible.
I mean, your book is proof of that, and your story is proof of that. And it's interesting. It's like the chicken or the egg. It's like, well, you've got these feelings and nothing's working. You've tried. Well, why don't you just bet on yourself and try these things that you can actually provide for yourself? It's so simple, and it's so distant from the way we think as humans, because like you said, people are chasing someone to come in with that sweeping, you know, okay, now you're take this pill, you'll be fine, or do this and you'll be fine. With so much uncertainty in the world and this past year that we have gotten through, and you know, it has been a year of loss and mourning, with you know, over 550,000 lives lost, in just our country. How have your clients changed? How's your practice changed with this pandemic? I mean, are you just seeing a rise in this in your own community?
Actually, this is such an interesting question. Thank you for asking it. In my own community, my students and clients are doing better than anyone I know. Why? Good. Because they've been using these tools for so long. And you probably know this, having experienced, you know, an autoimmune condition, where they already have these tools. Most of them have been using these tools for years. And when the pandemic hit, they were already used to being isolated. They were already used to being, you know, uncertain about their future. None of this is new for any of my clients or students. And so I feel like they've been able to really rise to the occasion and actually even sometimes help people around them. The people that I've seen that have had the hardest time are people that haven't gone through a major crisis. Mm. The people who have never experienced some huge thing in their life, you know, they have that very controlled life where luckily nothing terrible has gone wrong, but they have, you know, the perfect house and the job and they have everything structured just so. And those are the people that I've seen that haven't been as resilient in this time because they've never needed to be resilient before. And God bless them that they haven't had any huge health crisis or you know, anything like that. But but those are the people who've had kind of quote unquote perfect lives without having to really go through the struggle. And those are the people who typically don't understand what people with ongoing, you know, challenges like depression, anxiety, and chronic illness are going through all the time.
Right.
A lot of these people have become much more compassionate towards those who live like this all the time, right? In fear and disconnected and all of that. So it's been an interesting thing to see.
And in the reverse, I think that, like for me, I'm such an extrovert and I have really gotten to know my introvert and I like her a lot and I kind of don't want to let her go. And I'm not so sure I'm going to be like so excited when the world opens up. And my niece sent on our family text this, you know, really hysterical comic today from probably, I don't know, one of the papers. I don't know where it was from, but all I know is it was like, I don't know if I want to jump back into this world. Like, I kind of like this.
That's so interesting. And I've had the exact opposite experience of you because I am an introvert. And it took the and I'm a writer. I mean, I have my head on my computer all day writing
books. You've written a lot of books.
I'm an introvert. Yes. I love public speaking too, but I'm definitely, I definitely thought I was more of an introvert. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I was more extroverted than I thought. I cannot wait to get out of this house. And again, I live in New York City where we have not been on lockdown for a lot. Like for a few weeks, maybe we were in complete lockdown, but it's still New York City. When you went outside, there were people. I mean, it was not like a lockdown would have been somewhere else because you were never like walking through the streets and there was no one except for a few weeks when we had curfews and it was really scary here in the early days.
Really scary.
But so scary because I think New York City was kind of the first to hit really hard in the U.S.
Right.
So, but as time went on, I mean, we were the first to really like turn around our numbers and like ease our lockdowns. And so, yes, exactly. So so now I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I didn't need that much stimulation, but I was still, you know, meeting friends a couple of times a week or, you know, going to co-working space or whatever. And I was like, I realized, I really need that. I am much more of an extrovert than I thought. So I've been opposite of you.
Well, listen, it goes both ways. You know, I think we're discovering so much about ourselves and what works and what doesn't work. And no one's going back the same. That much we know, right?
Yeah.
We have all changed, learned, grown. We've lost a lot. We've gained a lot. So it's just there's a lot of hope, obviously, as people are getting vaccinated and spring is here and the warm weather is here. And it's like wonderful. That part I love. I can't wait to hug my mom really hard. I've been with her so much safely, but like I just want to really like hug her without being terrified, right? And how can you speak on that, Amy? Like the physical touch, like how is that affecting people with their anxiety and depression?
Yeah, so I mean, that is a huge part of connection. And I do think, you know, we are resilient human beings and we figured out other ways to do it. I personally have hugged all along. I have several friends who are doctors and asked each one of them and they each said, you don't get it by hugging. It's a respiratory, you know, wear your mask, turn your head and do a hug. So I have personally been hugging all along.
Okay.
But also completely understand the fear around that physical contact because that's such a huge burden to feel. Like, oh my gosh, could I hurt this person I love most? That's why you're hugging them, right?
Right.
So I see both sides of it, and I have, you know, have just told people to, you know, look people in the eyes, do as much, you know, visual connection as you can to offset not having that physical connection. And then also, I'm always like a cuddly blanket and pillow person, but you can also get that sort of warm, cozy feeling. It's not the same as hugging somebody, but like wrapping yourself up in blankets and being cozy, like in your own space, just to get that tactile, that sensory stimulation.
Right. And I think that you just hit it on. That's what I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss being cozy because
Yes. Well, you can still be cozy.
I'm not giving cozy up for sure. And our dogs and cats are probably like, what is happening? Why are you leaving?
Yes.
And my dog is like, we're not going to change. You're going to stay with me forever.
There's all these jokes about how dogs are having the best year of their lives
ever.
And cats are having the worst, which I totally get because we have a cat who could care less about if we're home or like we're definitely his roommates who like pay his rent. But dogs are probably like having the best year of their life, and cats are like, when are these people going to leave the house
That's
again?
That's really funny. That's really true and funny. That is hysterical. Well, what if someone's listening right now and like, okay, I've tried all these things. Like, what is the first thing? It doesn't have to be a technique, but what is the first thing a person can do who is feeling blue, who is feeling like they might have depression, who's feeling like they've been diagnosed, they've had depression? Like, what can you tell me that's new? I've tried it all. What is that number one thing, first thing someone can do to try a different approach?
So let me teach a really quick technique because it's so quick.
Okay, good.
I might as well, right? Everybody's sick of advice. I'll teach something that we can actually do to feel better. So the first thing is just to make a tiny, what I call a micro movement. Try one tiny thing. I know so many people get overwhelmed because they're trying to go from feeling like shit to not being depressed, to being happy. It's too big of a jump.
Right.
I know people who are depressed who try to, you know, they say that they're going to get out of bed and go to the supermarket. That's too big. Try to get out of bed and go to the living room first. Mm-hmm. So do the next smallest thing you can think of to get from where you are now to the next best place. That's what I recommend. Yeah. And one of the techniques that can help you do that is alternate temple tapping. And I teach the full version of this technique in How to Heal Yourself from Depression and When No One Else Can. But let me teach it to you now.
Okay, everybody's joining
in. Tips on your temples.
I'm joining in. I'm doing it.
Put your right fingertips on your right temple, which is on the side of your eye, and your left fingertips on your left temple. Mm-hmm. Now, while you hold your fingers here for a second, let me just tell you why we're putting our fingers here. This area has an energy pathway that's linked to your fight, flight, or freeze mechanism, which is the mechanism that goes into effect when you're stressed. That can make you either feel panicked or totally stuck. And totally stuck is more of the energy pattern I see in depression. Mm-hmm. But your fight, flight, or freeze mechanism is not only linked to your energy system, but also linked to your physical body. So we are going to be tapping here to help calm the fight, flight, or freeze response. And we're going to be tapping alternately on temples, left temple, right temple, left temple, right temple, to do what's called bilateral stimulation. You don't need to remember any of this. I'm just telling you for anybody who's a science geek like me and cares. Bilateral stimulation helps us use both sides of our brain, which has shown to help us regulate stress better and release trauma better than if we just tapped on one side of our face or body. So what you're going to do is tap with your fingertips, just one tap on your right side, one tap on your left side, one on your right side, one on your left side, and just keep going like that. You're going to feel like you're gently slapping each side of your head, which is perfectly fine. Now, while you tap, what I want you to do is just let your feelings come up, which is something you probably don't do often. But if you close your eyes and just tune into how you feel, I want you to actually, and this sounds so simple, yet it's so hard, feel how you feel. If you feel shitty, let yourself feel shitty. If you feel confused, let yourself feel confused. If you want to think about how weird this is, let yourself think about how weird this is. But go ahead and continue the temple tapping. Alternate sides, right, left, right, left, right, left. And don't hit yourself too hard. what you are doing here is you're pairing, bringing up the energy of what you don't want to feel, which is shitty, and using the tapping to help you release it. So you're bringing up the reality of your feelings, the energy that might be buried in your body, and you're tapping to tap it out of your system and calm your body down. Doing this for a few minutes alone can help you shift enough so that you can make the next step, which is getting out of bed or getting dressed or going to the supermarket. And sometimes doing this can shift your energy and your feeling enough so that you can actually allow a little bit of that good feeling to come in, that hope, that feeling like, okay, I feel a little bit less shitty. Let me see what I can do now. So this is just a tapping you can use anytime you feel shitty, stressed, you don't know what to do, you feel stuck. If you sit and tap for a few minutes, it will often help you shift out of that feeling, kind of get you out of that deep funk and help you do the next thing, which is can be something meditating, small, can be going right. for a walk, can be sitting on the couch, whatever it is. But it's so easy to do this.
Well, I just did it for the period of time you were speaking, and I just felt a very, very deep sense of calm. And I'm wondering, is it something, is it like meditation that it accumulates, like the more you do it, the better you feel?
Yes.
Okay. And can you do it?
But it can also work in the moment. So important to know.
So that's good.
Especially for people with depression, because when you feel depressed and so stuck, it is not helpful to find a technique that if you do for 3 months will make you feel better. You have to have something that you can do in the moment for 5 minutes. That will help you feel better.
Right.
And that's why I was never a fan. That's why in my own journey, I was never I never did meditation or yoga, although I tried so hard. Those two things are not my things. I like something that's actionable,
more
that
tactile.
I can do right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And am I using all four of my fingers, not my thumb?
I use all four. You could use two. You could scrunch up all your fingers so your thumbs are in there. But I use three or four fingers to tap.
That feels right to me. And can you do it when you're feeling hopeful and good? Is it something good to do then too, or like to help?
You can. It won't have as much of an effect because the whole idea of this is to get you to release that shitty feeling energy. But it will not hurt to do when you feel good and would calm your nervous system down even more than it already was. So no harm to do it when you feel good.
What is your first of all, thank you. That was really wonderful. Thank you for taking us through that.
Sure. And can I just say one more quick thing about this? This technique is something that is, if you have somebody in your life who's depressed and really can't or doesn't want to try anything for themselves, you could say to them, hey, I learned this new thing. Would you mind if I tapped on your temples? My work is all self-application. That doesn't mean you can't do it on someone else or someone can't do it on you. It just means you don't need them.
Right.
But this is something that I tell people if you have a child or if you have a friend or a family member that's sort of in that place that they're like, sure, go ahead, try it.
It's funny because my son suffers from, first it was anxiety, then it was ADHD, and now it's depression. So it's like all of those things go along with it. And he's in college, which is just a stressful time to begin with. And and graduating and, you know, it's all. And the other day, he's like, Mom, why do you only DM me things about depression? You know, I'm so much more than that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, because you have mom brain and you want to help him.
Right, I want to help him and I cannot wait to go get to his temples and start tapping him. And I have two copies of your book, so I'll be sending him a second copy. But it is true,
awesome.
You know, as the people who are the ones watching our loved ones struggle and it's really, 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 really gut-wrenchingly hard. And we want to come in and fix everything. And I think it's really wonderful what you said, like how we can offer these techniques without it feeling overwhelming, you know, with just saying, hey, here's something new I heard about. I tried it myself. It felt really good.
Yes.
It won't take much time because when you are under that deep, deep, deep feeling of depression, everything it feels like is on top of you, weighing you down, that if you added one more thing, you're like, I have 700 texts to return and 400 emails. I'm not tapping. So it's just, it's a nice way of being able to just say, here's something little and small that you can do.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Try it for 5 minutes. And people, you know, people who are experiencing depression, you can't get them to, I mean, maybe you can if you're some kind of hero, but you can't get them to a yoga class. You can't get them. You know, when I was sick and when I went through my own experience with depression, the last thing I wanted to do was close my eyes in silence and be with my physical and emotional pain. Like I couldn't meditate. Right. And there are people who get through depression using meditation techniques. So that's amazing. But if you're one of those people that are out there thinking, feeling bad because you can't meditate, you don't want to do yoga or whatever, there are other ways. You have to find the way that's right for you, that's doable for you, because guess what? Nothing works if you don't do it.
Right.
And the thing that will work is the thing that you can do and you feel good about. And so I hope that, you know, I offer several techniques in my book. And even if you don't love them all, it doesn't matter. Try to pick two and work with those.
Yeah, you don't have to love everything.
And just know it can be enough.
Exactly, exactly. Look, just the tapping alone on the temples besides all the other chakras are just like, it's like, oh, I have the power to do that. Let me do that for 5 minutes.
Let me try.
Wonderful.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's like having, you know, whatever it is that makes you feel more connected to yourself, maybe, you know, a warm cup of tea or a yoga practice, or for me, meditation always brings me right back home. A nice long walk in nature, exercise, and whatever you can do. But like you said from the start, this is not in, you know, replacing anything you're already doing. It is in addition to, which we all need, you know, more ways that we can heal. Do you have a daily prayer? Do you pray?
I don't. I tend to pray when I'm feeling lost or whatever, but I don't have a daily prayer. I constantly listen to what's going on inside of me and ask that, and I just have an intention every day that I see signs or get information or become aware of things that would be beneficial on my path. And that's kind of, I guess, if I have a daily prayer,
I would call that a daily prayer. I would definitely call it that.
Yeah.
A visual daily prayer. I like that.
Daily prayer. Yeah. I ask for anything that I need to see or be aware of to come into my space.
And I think it's really cool for everyone to be super specific with their visual daily prayer, because I'm telling you, I write about this in my own book, is I see signs from my dad who passed away 5 years ago. And I told him on his deathbed, I'm like, this is not over. Stay in touch with me daily. And just on Easter, I literally, after taking communion, sat to myself, my family's beside me, we're outside at church, and I ask specifically, Dad, because it's my childhood church. I was in Philadelphia with my mom and my daughters. And I'm like, send us a sign that you are with us. And I want the sign to be one of those cute flies that you sent to me the year after you died. And I want it to land on us. I want it to land on us so we know it's you. Okay, so within moments, Amy, I look at my daughter, Marin, and she's got the program. You know, we're following along. We're singing a song. And she's like throwing, like she's holding the program, but she's like trying to like get something off of it. I'm like, Marin, what are you doing? And she goes, this fly, it just landed on me and it won't leave.
I was like, he worked so fast.
Oh my God.
Your dad worked so fast.
I started to cry. I'm screaming. She's like, what is going on, Mom? And it's happened before, but I was so specific with the ask. And
yes,
it just, and there's,
I love
it
that.
Was April, so there's no flies, nothing. There was no fly anywhere.
Oh,
and it's happened before.
It.
So it's, you know, just that is a prayer that was like very specific.
Yes.
And I think we all, when we are feeling at our worst and feeling blue, if we can open up our eyes and our hearts to signs that the path is not going to be like this forever, that there will be light, there will be hope, there is more to look forward to. Because when we're in that moment of feeling the weight of depression, we don't think it will ever change. And the signs
Absolutely.
Allow us, yeah, to know that it will change. How old were you when you, or what was the moment, you don't have to give me an age, but maybe you know your age, when you knew that you would be helping others heal? Do you have a first memory of that?
I mean, I've always been a helper. I was that kid who was like saving my coins to give to the homeless on the street. Like I was always that person. And I actually never intended to go into any helping career at all. It just sort of where I was, you know, where I was led. So
right. Well,
I think some of us are just born helpers.
Yes, for sure. But you use your story to help others, which is what I just am madly in love with, when people are able to use their story to help others heal. And that's basically how you landed in your own profession of healing, because you needed it yourself. And now that you have figured out a way to help yourself, you can help others. And I think that is when, you know, just to have a full circle as we end this beautiful conversation, is that is the biggest feeling of connection one can have, when you see your story land on someone's heart and it has made them, you know, think about their own story and how it can impact, your story can impact their life. And, you know, that is when we realize we're all more alike than we are unalike. So
absolutely.
That connection and community is clearly key to healing. I love this. So
beautifully said.
Well,
I love it.
Listen, it's what you're writing about. So I'm in the midst of finishing your book. I can't wait to read more of it and practice more of it, because we need it. We all need it. So if anyone listening is you know, has someone in their life who's struggling, or if you're struggling, Amy's book is the key to finding out something that works for you. How to Heal Yourself from Depression When No One Else Can, a self-guided program to stop feeling like S-H-I-T. S-H-I-T, we're allowed to swear. Where can people find you? I'll put it in the show notes, but where can people find you?
Sure. They can find me on my website at amybshare.com. And of course, I'm on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook. I think I'm too old and uncool for Twitter and TikTok.
TikTok.
But I'm on the other social media channels for sure.
TikTok, I have found out how to scroll on your For Your Page thing, and I can't stop. I listened to Amy Poehler on Willie Geist's podcast, and she said TikTok is, she's not on any social media, but she's like, I love it so much because people are so creative. And it's true. People, I mean, there's some bad TikToks, but the creative people, I can't laugh harder. I mean, it's literally,
that's so funny.
It's so funny. And now I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to ask you. Oh, I know. This is a burning question I have for you. It's going to, you know, it's so important. Ready? What does the B stand for? Amy B. Share.
My middle name is Beth. B-E-T-H.
But I just love the way it rolls. Amy B. Share. It's like, beshert is like a Yiddish word for
yes. I know what
and
that
it's,
word
it's
is.
Like, you know, meant to be. And it's like, I just love the way you use that bold B. And it's just like, it's not Amy Beth. It's Amy Beshare. It sounds like a song. I love it.
Thank you. And it's really a quick, funny story about that. Amy Schumer is Amy B. Schumer. And so sometimes in the bookstores, our books are next to each other. And I always think it's funny. Like our name was so close.
That is so funny. That is so funny.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, everybody go get Amy B. Share's book, because you will be better for it. I can't thank you enough for this conversation. I look forward to following you on your Instagram and seeing what other wonderful techniques that you can offer all of us humans who are just trying to be feeling a little better and a little less shitty. So,
thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
I enjoy your day in New York City, and try to get your cat to, like, you know, hang out with you and
I'm gonna try
to kick you out of the house.
I love it.
Amy, thank you so much. Your love speaks. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be here on the Love Speaks series podcast with all your busy things that you do. So thank you so much. I hope some people have really benefited, and I know they have, from your words of wisdom and your techniques. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on, the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story, your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game. Check out my blog while you're there.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks for listening. Your love speaks.